Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It is kind of tough telling somebody else they should retire. Take The Undertaker, who we shall talk about later. He gave 30 years of his life to pro wrestling. If he wants to fight until his teeth are falling out and his hair is grey, then more power to him. The flip side to this is capturing that magic moment in a bottle. Every now and then, a very obvious occasion comes along that screams, "This is the perfect time to walk away!" And yet the individual in question does not. Again, sometimes it's only with hindsight that this becomes apparent, but still, nobody wants to overstay their welcome, and trying to find that balance is harder than a Rubik's Cube. Unless you're one of those people who can smash those out in a minute, how the hell do you do it? I'm Simon from What Culture. Please do hit that subscribe button. It's free. And this is 10 Precise Moments Wrestlers Should Have Retired. Number 10, The Undertaker, Extreme Rules 2019. One of the all-time greats, which I don't think anybody can argue, the whole thing with the dead man was he wanted to find that perfect moment to walk away, but never really felt like it came his way. He desired that ultimate exit so it matched up to his career, and always assumed it would come when he had his next match. People always shout that this ruins his legacy, but I don't buy into that. Do I like the original Star Wars films less because of the prequels? No, and it's the same here. I remember his feuds with Kane, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. All the time he threw mankind, a human being, off the top of Hell in a Cell. I don't care that he had a rubbish fight with Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. I can forget about that. Like He-Man, I have the power. A good time to have hung them up, in terms of his performance living up to expectations, was definitely Extreme Rules 2019, though. Everything fell into place to make it one of those nights, including a hot crowd and an out-of-nowhere tag team of Taker with Roman Reigns, who were going against Drew McIntyre and Shane McMahon. In short, the Phenom was great throughout all of this, and the audience lapped it up. It rocked. You kind of get the feeling he thought the same if you've seen his reaction to it in the Last Ride documentary, but alas, there was more to come. I'll take that given what else Mark Calloway gave us. It was a very enjoyable run. Number 9, Ric Flair at WrestleMania 24. Ric Flair's retirement build and actual retirement under the WWE banner was near perfect, and if that had been the end, it would have rounded off one of the best careers ever. Flair found an extra win during his lose and Vince McMahon will boot you out of wrestling tour, and given that his final boss awaited at the biggest show of the year and was called Shawn Michaels, well, it was bloody fantastic. Go and watch this now if you've never seen it. You'll never think the Nature Boy is 60 years old. It is one hell of a performance. A huge reason for this too was the story. Fans didn't want Flair to retire. Flair definitely didn't want to retire. So it was just life being life. It meant it had to happen. And when HBK said that he loved Rick and was sorry for hitting him right in the face, that is pro wrestling 101 right there. Flair's love for the industry meant he couldn't live up to this stipulation and decided to go and wrestle in TNA for a few years. And again, it's just one of those things. Given wrestling had been his entire life, no real surprise he struggled to let it go. Even he has said this likely wasn't the best idea, but if you're ever frustrated about this decision, just go and watch any Flair versus Steamboat match. You'll be over it instantly. Number 8, Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam 2006. Technically, Hulk Hogan still hasn't retired, and the Hulkster is always rumored to be wanting one last match. That should never happen given how badly injured his back is, but amazingly, I still wouldn't be surprised if somehow it did. So with that in mind, we need to go through Hogan's last matches to find out which one lived up to the legacy he had created. I mean, he changed pro wrestling twice. Who else can say that? No disrespect to TNA, but it doesn't live there, and really in terms of the spectacle in the opponent, it's probably when he went head-to-head with none other than Randy Orton at SummerSlam 2006. This was also his last match in the WWE, which is far more fitting, and while if we had known this, maybe he would have done the honors, there's also a huge chance that he wouldn't have done, because, you know, he's Hulk Hogan. Orton did have his hand raised before the referee reversed his decision after Hulk's foot was found to be on the ropes during the three count, and a leg drop seconds later meant this all turned around. Still, even with that, it would have been great as a proper send-off. Today, not so much. Number 7, Bret Hart at WCW Nitro, October 4th, 1999. When Bret Hart tangled with Vince McMahon at WrestleMania in 2010, it was certainly nothing to write home about. Hearing the Hitman talk about it will actually give you a new take on this, however, as he was so proud of what he achieved given what he had been through beforehand. In that sense, it is something. When you think of Bret Hart, though, you think of one of the best wrestlers ever, and that should have been how he walked away, reminding everybody that he's a flipping man. So once again, we go into the past to find the right time to do that, and really it would have been on WCW Nitro in October of 1999 when he took on Chris Benoit in a tribute match to his brother Owen. Not only did it have that extra emotional kick, but the action and tone of this were pretty damn incredible. Two skilled technicians proving to everyone that they were without a doubt some of the most skilled in the world. The real kicker here was that WCW just had no clue what to do with Bret Hart, so he suffered through no fault of his own. That's why, looking back, can be so powerful. Nobody could have known what was going to come after this, especially with the fact Hart had already been through so damn much. Number 6, Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 26. This one seems a little unfair, because if someone came to your house now with a bag of money to work 20 minutes, you'd do it, no matter what other promises you'd made. No one is going to turn that down, but after years of staying in the wilderness after retiring at WrestleMania 26 following that barn burner with The Undertaker, HBK was offered this truckload of cash to head to Saudi Arabia and the Crown Jewel event in 2018. I mean, the end result was a disaster, and they're not my words, they're the words of the people in the damn thing. For one reason or another, this fell apart on every level. Triple H tore his pec, Kane's mask was knocked off for the first time ever, which is quite something given he debuted in 1997, The Undertaker wasn't in the right frame of mind, and while Michaels was okay, that was about it. And okay for one of the best in-ring performers ever is simply not good enough. Much like Taker, this is almost a forgotten memory now, and I doubt he's ever gonna do it again. Number 5, CM Punk at the Royal Rumble 2014. Which at the moment is exactly what he did. When CM Punk was done at the 2014 Royal Rumble, he went to Raw the next day, told WWE to stick it, left, and has never returned. Given who his character was, this was pretty much spot on. I mean, look at it this way. Punk always presented himself as an anti-company guy and one who, obviously, lived his life like a punk rocker would. It's my life, my way, and if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass. We all get excited about the idea of him returning because he was a major star, but this was almost the best way for him to exit. He created headlines, he left people reeling, a lot of management seething. He took his gimmick all the way to its natural conclusion. If he did come back too, you know that WWE would do something ridiculous. I mean, even when Punk was the hottest thing in wrestling, they couldn't help themselves. With everything that's happened since, there's no way this would be simple or straightforward. So his retirement came after he was held out the Rumble, basically then flipped everyone off. I love it. Number 4, Mick Foley at WrestleMania 22. You can take what we've already said about a lot of people in this list and apply it to Mick Foley, but my word, did we come close. If it wasn't for a TNA run, who knows what the deal would have been, but again, wrestling is a hard bug to let go. Foley's story is incredible regardless, given that Vince McMahon once told Jim Ross that he would never hire that guy, and then a few years later, that guy was winning the WWF title on Raw. He also proved to be amazingly versatile, shifting from serious to comedy to hardcore to sports entertainment guru, and basically, Mick Foley was brilliant. If you want to talk about when he properly smashed it out of the park one last time, it would have to be during his war with Edge at WrestleMania 22 when, yes, the pair went flying through a flaming table. As you do. It was a great reminder that not only was Foley a damn hero, but he was the king of making stars. Much in the same way as he had assisted others, Edge walked away from this feeling like a much bigger deal. A good guy from top to bottom, I'm pretty sure that technically his final match came against Jonathan Coachman on SmackDown. In a way, that is beautiful. Number 3, Kane at the Royal Rumble 2018. I forgot that Kane and Finn Balor had a feud. That was so weird. It also saw the Big Red Machine beat Finn to head into the Rumble as one third of the WWE title match alongside Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman. The thing is, if you were a longtime fan of Kane, there was this feeling that if he did win and become the champ, it wouldn't have been so bad. I think deep down we knew that The Undertaker's brother didn't have that many matches left. Furthermore, this was actually all right, and while Kane would be pinned after a second F5 onto a steel chair, if he had gotten up, taken his bow and walked off, it would have been fitting. The man himself has said he doesn't know if he's going to get a proper send-off anytime soon, but I really hope he does. Maybe the reason that hasn't happened, however, is because he feels like he's not done in the ring. I'm not sure what else we could do with that character as he's done everything. Perhaps he would like to chokeslam somebody else through their parents' grave. Number 2, The Big Show at WWE Raw on September 4th, 2017. The Big Show magically turned back up on WWE TV in 2020, and then he vanished again. We likely haven't seen the last of him either, especially as he had that match with Drew McIntyre after WrestleMania 36. The concept was weird, but as for his performance, yeah, it's pretty good. We've already established our criteria for this list, however, which is why a great time to have gone out with a bang was when he had that nut steel cage match with Braun Strowman in 2017. Those two kicked the crap out of each other. It was also designed to put Strowman on the map, something Show went out of his way to do. Not only did he lose after the power slam, but Braun grabbed him after the fact and threw him through the side of the steel as a defiant, "This is my wrestling promotion now!" And you know he would have shouted it too. That's all he does. The one good thing about The Big Show carrying on is what it does leave on the table. Nobody has turned as much as he has, often going from good guy to bad guy within the same evening, so as a nice end, he should do this during his final match. He starts as a face, he finishes as a heel, he then goes face again when he says goodbye. Don't pretend you wouldn't enjoy it. Number 1, Triple H at WrestleMania 30. Triple H doesn't force himself on TV or even guarantee a match at WrestleMania, but in terms of what would have been an incredible end to his in-ring career, that's WrestleMania 30. His part in the Daniel Bryan Joyfest that night was clear for all to see, and getting wrecked in both the opener and when he tried to interfere in the main event was great. WWE took a winding road to get to that point, but we got there in the end. Aside from that, if this had gone down, we never would have moved forward 12 months to the now very controversial Sting versus Triple H match at WrestleMania 31. Just a bizarre outing, all things considered. Seeing Sting lose in one of his few WWE matches was ludicrous, even more so as he got hit with a sledgehammer and didn't really care. Whatever, who gives a damn? Bouts against Seth Rollins were better, but not really memorable, and while he did his best with Roman Reigns, that one was out of his hands. Nobody could have fixed that. I will say that his Mania 35 bout is a guilty pleasure of mine, just because I know how much Batista wanted that match and how happy I was that he got it. If you watch it through those eyes, it's really heartwarming. The real downer would have been not getting that mixed tag at WrestleMania where Ronda Rousey lit up the arena, and for that reason alone, this can all be debated, but still. If we're talking about the time-honored traditions of the business, the game laying it all down after a new star was born would have been poetic.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.